big, humble, humble hello to everybody out there. My name's Stephanie McGarry of the Lost Coast Outpost.
And I'm Andrew Goff with the Lost Coast Outpost. And something we've been doing over the last few weeks is reaching out to people just to check in how they're doing during these wonderful pandemic times. This week on the show, is this a show? Maybe this is a show. This week we have Deidre Pike, who is responsible for Stephanie McGarry being here today.
To explain that a little bit more thoroughly, Deidre Pike is a professor of journalism at Humboldt State University, where I did get my BA in journalism. So yes, I definitely owe a lot of where I am today to Deidre. She was a great professor.
Just going to check in with her about how all these crazy changes have been affecting her experience on campus and what she thinks HSU is going to look like moving forward. So let's see if we can get Deidre to join us for some excellent Zoom quality audio. Deidre, are you there?
Hi, can you hear this?
Great.
I haven't seen you for a minute.
Yes, I am, of course, a former journalism student of Deidre's, so journalism.
Yeah, one of those, you're not supposed to say hi GPA students, but a pretty darn good student was Stephanie.
Oh, thanks. Wait,
now why are you not supposed to say hi GPA students?
Yeah. Oh, I think it's like a federal regulation that you're not supposed to talk about anybody's GPA ever anymore.
Oh.
Okay. It's like HIPAA for
don't say
campuses.
That Steffi did really well.
Just so you know. So could you start out by just telling for maybe people who aren't super familiar with you, telling us a little bit about all the different roles you fill on campus?
So on campus, I fill the role of teaching right now. I've stepped back from journalism chair. I was chair for a couple of years, and now I'm just teaching classes, which is exactly what I love to do the most. This semester, I'm teaching four classes, and the one that is the most entertaining and time-consuming and challenging is the Lumberjack Student Newspaper Advisor. So I have all the students who make this lovely print production and do a fabulous job online with the lumberjack.org.
Yeah.
They have been, even in the time of the COVID, coming together. We meet via Zoom, or we have met a couple times a week, and they've made two print publications, one that we sent out to the masses. We sent it out to 6,400 families in California.
And Deidre, how long have you been at HSU now?
This is my eighth year. Okay. Oh my God. Just got here.
and where did you come from before that?
California was nice enough to move me off of the island of Oahu in Hawaii. I taught at the University of Hawaii at Manoa, the flagship campus on Oahu in Honolulu. It was hot there. I'm one of the few people apparently who say I prefer Humboldt by a long shot. Before that, I was at the University of Nevada, Reno. But now you'll have to drag me out of Humboldt kicking and screaming. I'm going to stay forever.
Oh.
Let's talk about this last semester. So it was like, back in mid-March, as the threat of coronavirus was coming more into focus, HSU was among the first local institutions to suspend its normal operations. I was looking back, it looks like it was March 12th when it was announced that face-to-face instruction would be suspended, which seems like forever ago, right?
Something like that. It was more like that week we decided that after spring break, the faculty was going to spend a couple days doing some development so we could figure out how to if we had to. There were a lot of messages that happened. There were these cascading emails where things just got worse and worse until you just didn't even want to open your email to find out what they would decide to do next. Yeah. But by the end of it all, by Friday the 13th, it was pretty clear that we probably weren't coming back right away. And then within a short period of time, we weren't going to come back. And that was distressing the students because they went off on spring break thinking spring break, and then we come back and we're going to have our, wrap everything up. So they didn't have a sense of closure. They didn't get to say goodbye. And, some of them graduating seniors, it was their last class ever, and they didn't know it. Their last class at Humboldt in person on campus, and they didn't experience it as that.
So you guys come back, and maybe you can tell us about the adjustment to having to teach digitally. What did the rest of the semester look like in your classes?
My classes, it was probably less difficult than for many people. I teach online quite a bit. So two of my classes were already online classes. My biggest class was a 49-person analyzing mass media messages class. And it was an online class to begin with. Humboldt, as we all know, is suffering from a lack of classroom space. And so we do more online teaching. Plus, it's super popular. People in Northern California often appreciate a online class, because if you live in Willow Creek or you live in Weaverville or Southern Humboldt, you can attend class and finish up your degree at Humboldt if you just have a few classes left, for example. So that class was already online. My beginning reporting class, I've taught online previously, so I could just kind of, I just morphed into what I would have done had I been teaching it online. The hardest class is the lumberjack student newspaper class, because those kids like to be in a newsroom, much like you probably at the Lost Coast Outpost appreciate being in a newsroom with people, bantering, that banter. Yeah.
We have fun.
It's true. It is awkward. And we don't do the Zoom thing as a group all that often, but you do with the lumberjack and with your other classes, you do a lot of Zoom instruction.
We zoomed all my Zoom was with the lumberjack for the most part. We zoomed once a week with the beginning reporting class. And then I just gave them exercises, and we covered online meetings. So that was kind of fun. We had people watch the Arcadia City Council and report it from the comfort of their home.
So it's kind of also changed the lesson plan a little bit. Are you sort of adapting and now teaching like journalism in the time of COVID has become a part of how you teach journalism?
Exactly. It's much more difficult if you're you have reporting students. I can't send them out to places because they are sheltering at home. So now what can they do? How can you report when you're sheltering at home? So it's the same dilemma you're facing, Stephanie, there. What are you doing? Oh, you're going to call Deidre on Zoom and that will be the story. It's awesome. I enjoy talking to you. So that's good. But my students had to do some of the same kinds of stuff. And then illustrating it was even worse, because if you're doing a print paper and you have to put pictures up with stuff, what do you take pictures of?
Do you think that all these dramatic changes ultimately affected the quality of the education that the students received? Or do you think that having to, improvise somewhat has taught them some life lessons that are maybe even more valuable?
I think both of those things. Obviously they're adapting to a new thing. And I think it differs by teacher and how they adapted to this. Some teachers just don't want to do online, can't do online. If you're in a lab course, which is what the front page story is about, lab courses, that's a hands-on. I want to stick my hands in some chemicals or dissect something, I guess. Or get out on the ocean and do some sampling of water, etc. And those things aren't going to happen. Apparently they may not happen in the fall, which is sad and distressing for students who want that hands-on experience. Mm-hmm. And then the collegiality is problematic, and the sense of camaraderie. You come to Humboldt campus to have an experience, which is the Humboldt thing. Everybody goes to class and they go wander around in the Redwood Forest and walk down to the plaza on Saturday morning and go to the farmer's market. Humboldt is an awesome college, and the kids miss that a lot.
Are you in communication with other instructors? Is there a general morale that you're sensing from other staff?
We meet with our journalism faculty has weekly meetings. We theme them. And then we take a picture and put it on Instagram. So for your entertainment,
like Wacky Hat Day or something.
We all wore wacky hats or masks or umbrellas.
Okay. But are people stressed? Are they excited? Are they enthusiastic? Are they dreading all of that is to come?
Mostly the latter. I don't think anybody's particularly enthusiastic. We have extremely difficult budget scenarios coming up. administrators trying to do whatever they can to squeeze together instruction and departments so that we can spend less money. And spending less money from an instructor's point of view means some people are going to lose work.
Let's talk about that. Looking forward, you know, obviously you mentioned we're predicting decreased enrollment and budgetary declines. I was looking back at some of our coverage, and we had a report that forecast around a 35% decrease in freshman headcount, which of course means millions of dollars less in budget. And then earlier this week, we hear that all CSUs are going to be moving to mostly online classes for the fall. When you hear of all these changes, how do you personally feel about the future? How do you think this plays out?
I don't know. I think it's really too soon to say what the hell is going to happen. Here's what I see, because I don't know how the big folks make the bean counters make their predictions about things. And I know people are worried that an online system in the fall will mean nobody wants to come to Humboldt because of the Humboldt experience. If you're going to go online, why not go somewhere else? I think that might not play out the way people expect it, just because there are so many people recently that feel more urgency to go to college or to finish a degree perhaps that they hadn't finished, and being online gives them an opportunity to do that. So I've talked to several people just throwing that around, like, hey, maybe I'll finish my degree now that it's all online. You know, I'm almost done. I could finish off that last, you know, few classes and cha-ching. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. What are you doing on your college degree, Andrew Goff?
Not really.
Uh-oh, this has turned into a recruitment opportunity, I see.
Yeah.
You were like, would a journalism degree.
Would you like to be my teacher, Deidre?
Yes. Come join the class. We'll sign you in. You can see what it's like and hang out.
Okay. Yeah. I will audit. How about that?
You'll complicate everything. It'll be super fun.
How are the lines of communication between faculty and the administration through all this? I mean, it seems like there are new developments every day. Do you feel like you're getting good communication from them?
We get big long streams of information at some times, and then a bunch of conflicting stuff. Our president seems to be MIA, which is generally the accepted line now. No one really knows where he is. He has shown up to a couple meetings, so okay. That's awesome. But overall, I don't think folks know what's going to happen. So I'm actually kind of glad that we haven't gotten quite as many emails with decisive information than that shifts and changes.
Okay.
Here's the thing. It's possible that I've started ignoring messages. It's entirely possible and I'm not reading them anymore.
Okay. Yeah.
But so I feel like I'm getting less information, which is good.
Yeah. You mentioned President Jackson being MIA. Is there something that you would specific that you would like from him that you feel you're not getting?
Yes, an interview with student media.
And they've been trying to do that and have just not been hearing from him?
Yes, and have been told multiple times that he's too busy to talk to them.
Wow.
President Jackson, please return the Lumberjacks calls.
Yes.
Zoom in.
If you wait long enough, the semester's over. So apparently we've waited on Jack. It's just about done.
I'm sure as a media professor, you teach your students to have a discerning eye for the media they consume. Through this pandemic, where have you been getting your information?
Oh, God. I read the Washington Post every day, of course, but and I read the Lost Coast Outpost.
I was not looking for a plug, Deidre. I promise.
Oh, like the IV feed of intravenous feed of news for Humboldt. Sure. If I'm looking for something now, I can at least find a link to it on you guys. I've often bragged about how awesome the Lost Coast Outpost is. Other people who try to do what you're doing, but they haven't found the magic fix for it.
The magic will.
Every day I look at that stupid New York Times coronavirus map. And what I wish I had done is I wish in March when they first introduced the map, I would have taken pictures of it every day. I'm trying to find like a time.
Oh yeah, they should have something where you can slide back and see the colors change from yellow to red.
I remember, I mean, we had like 400 cases in March, mm-hmm. and now we have, you know, however many thousands of cases. And I'm watching Wisconsin because my dad lives there, and Wisconsin opened up. There, the Supreme Court said, hey, we're going to just let everybody do everything. My dad says, you can go to a bar here now, you know, or starting today or tomorrow.
Dear Lord, is he going?
My dad probably will not be going to a bar. He's okay.
Well,
yeah, but he could if he wanted to.
How about this? Where are you not getting your information?
Where am I not getting? I get my information from everywhere. I really like to carouse out on the big wide world. If I'm with my dad, we sit and watch Fox News all day long. It's really, you could take notes. They're such good teachers. They have like the talking point, and you hear the talking point across the content of a show multiple times, and then you hear it on the next show in a slightly different way, and then you're hearing it in another place. They teach it so well that my dad can recite it verbatim, and he will.
so you are taking it in as a keen to critique it, but he is taking it in as a connoisseur and a fan.
Yes, my formerly, and he probably won't listen to this, but my formerly very critical thinking pops.
Okay, yeah.
Now sits, and actually he's actually outgrowing it a little bit because he can't hear very well, so I don't think he's catching it all. But for a while there, he could recite it because they teach, it's an excellent example of how to do propaganda, how to do, how to repeat a message and get it heard by people.
Sure.
And I think we need to watch and pay attention to that so that we understand it. If we just sit here and dig our heels in and complain, you know, then we're just, we're not understanding it and you can't combat it. You got to know the enemy.
Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely Fox News.
So from all of the hours of Fox News you've consumed, what would be your recommendation as the best way to combat it?
Make good information, but listen to people who are making bad information and who are listening to it, and talk to them. The Socratic method's always good. Yeah. So Dad, what you're saying is there should be no minimum wage.
Yeah.
So what you're saying, Dad, is that American workers should get paid about what they get paid in other countries where there is no minimum wage. And that's okay, because that's not quite a living wage, Dad. You know, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. You just don't. Yeah. But he has ideas, and sooner or later, you know, everybody's thinking and everybody's talking and you're not yelling, hopefully. Anyway, I'm a big fan of listening.
Yeah.
My dad's not my enemy, so I said know your enemies, but basically it's not a person that's an enemy, it's a point of view that's problematic.
Yeah.
I'm not helping us.
I assumed you were referring to the Fox News correspondents, not your father when you said that. That's what I took.
So as you've been watching this thing unfold here specifically in Humboldt, what's kind of your take on how we're handling it as a populace?
I think people are being fairly awesome. I drove by the protesters at the courthouse the other day, and wearing, you know, masks and all that. And I was, you know, kind of catty about it, but my students had a very good take on it. And if you pick up the paper, they wrote an editorial that began with the protesters at the courthouse, and they said, the protesters demonstrate really that we've failed to take care of a lot of people. So as a nation, as a society, we've failed to attend to the needs of the people who can't live with a whole social shutdown because they can't pay their bills. And their $1,200 stimulus check isn't cutting it. So that's not going to help them much. I think the stimulus funding thing did a lot to throw money at a problem, and it could have been a little more deliberate to help the people who really needed help and not send checks to people who are happily, satisfyingly employed at home and still collecting a paycheck. Yeah. So I would be happier to see less $1,200 coming my way and more $1,200 put to work developing job solutions for folks, technology for people who need, who, you know, can't access the kind of things that I can access here with my high-speed internet, Zooming with Andrew Goff and Stephanie McGinnery. I mean, that's awesome, but not everybody has that ability. And the folks protesting at the courthouse kind of show that, hey, there's some things that we haven't, that are going to be more problematic for some folks than for others. So for me, happiness, goodness, and joy, my hardest problem is homeschooling. But for other people, you know, they're fucked. And you have to recognize that and realize how hard that is. Now, can we open up and let a whole bunch of people die just so that people are employed? There's got to be some kind of balance, and we have to figure out what it is. But I don't think I think our national leadership has failed us, and California's doing all right, but we could do better.
So I'm curious, it's okay. I kind of wanted to switch gears a little bit, if that's okay with you, Goff.
Please.
Because we know that you are a bread baking, from journalism days, I know how much you love baking bread. And also people, this is a big thing people have been into these days, apparently. Everybody fancies themselves a bread maker now. And
happy to have bread expertise. What do you
have? We hear that you're a sourdough bread magician. So.
At least aficionado.
Yeah.
I like it, and I'd like to make it well. It's all about keeping your starter healthy.
How do you think, what does that mean? I don't even know what that means. What does that mean?
Sourdough is a really basic, simple thing, Steffi. It's flour, water, and goo. And the goo is this growing...
Tell us about the goo.
Fabulous growing colony of bacteria and yeast. The bacteria and yeast are what makes sourdough bread sour. It's what makes it rise. It's what gives it its oomph. Otherwise, you just have crackers. So basically, this particular sourdough goo that I have is I like to call it my legacy Trinidad sourdough starter, because I got it from a friend who got it from a friend that's lived in Trinidad for a long time. I received my bag of goo, or actually a little container of goo, in 2014, and I've kept my goo alive since then. So it's my little, it's like a pet. It's a pet. It needs
to have a name.
Yeah. Herschel.
Herschel the goo.
Yes, and then just without missing a beat, you said.
I wasn't going to share, but then I thought, why not? I've shared it on social media. Herschel is gets fed like about 3 times a week. It helps if I feed him when I make a loaf of bread, because then I remember it. But now I'm not making as much bread, because I make bread for students and I make bread for campus for faculty students. But now there are none of those, so I brought a loaf of bread to a student last week for his birthday, but otherwise it's just I only can really use about a loaf here a week.
You can only eat so much bread on your own.
You only eat so much bread.
Okay.
If anybody needs any starter or wants some bread, let me know.
Well, you know, Deirdre, I think because I'm too cheap to have the beyond 40 minute Zoom.
Oh my God. Awesome. Yeah. Oh.
We're gonna have to, I think, wrap up here in a few minutes.
Yeah, a couple more things. I mean, as a journalism professor, judging us, of course, in this moment, I assume, what should we have asked you that we did that we failed to?
Oh yeah,
you did a good job.
Okay.
Free lesson, Andrew.
Yeah, I'm taking your class right now as we speak.
Awesome. Do you just want to tell us a little bit, Deirdre, about others? What else you've been up to just kind of keep yourself sane? I mean, it sounds like you're pretty busy since you are still able to do your job and you're teaching online. But you know, what else have you been doing with your time during shelter in place?
Today I'm going to deliver some newspapers. I'm going to put on my mask and make. I didn't want the students.
Trooper.
it seemed problematic to send them out into the world. And I know that I'm going to be careful and I'm going to wash the hell out of my hands and wear my mask and be and not touch anything and just drop off some newspapers here and there where you can still drop them off. So I'm going to do that. It's my husband's birthday today, so I'm going to bake a cake.
Happy birthday. And then finally, just broadly, what do you miss the most about pre-COVID times?
God, I miss being in the classroom, for sure. I miss bringing some snacks, newsroom snacks, to the kids making the newspaper on production night. And they're all stressed out, but having a good time. And I bring them some, I don't know, dried seaweed or bread or cookies.
Dried seaweed and bread. I don't remember that.
Dried seaweed. This group is a whole bunch of health food vegan types on the paper right now. So they really like the Costco dried seafood or seaweed stuff.
Who are the, what is this new generation of journalists? Do they not know that we live on coffee and junk food?
No. It's like, Deidre, can you bring us vegetables and fruit? Who are you people? You know, they give me hope. I love my students so much. They fill me with hope and energy. And even online, we have a really good time, but I really miss seeing them. Oh, I missed graduation. It's just sucking that I'm not going to be able to, that we won't have it. We're having a little reception online. So this is how graduation's going to look.
Yeah. But with a much bigger
group. Yeah. Well, this is how the journalism school is going to do it on a Zoom session. There'll be the big 2-hour long video for the university.
Yeah.
But I don't know who's really going to sit through that, but, it was really a nice idea. So
yeah,
they're trying.
Well, Deidre, thank you so much for zooming in with us.
Thank you. Hang in there. Keep doing the good job.
Thank you. And you too. You too.
Yeah. Take care of that baby, Steffi.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, she's a cutie. She's asleep right now. I would have had her.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, guys. See you later.
All right.
Thank you so much. Take care. Take care.
All right, so that was Deidre Pike, HSU. I'd like to thank you all for tuning in to Lost Coast Outpost, whatever. What are we calling this? Humboldt Holding Up?
Holding Up, Andrew.
Sure. Okay.
Wash your hands.
All right.
Stay at home. Stay safe out there. Thanks for listening.
Mask up. Bye.
Bye.